Gateway Buick GMC has the all-new, much-anticipated 2016 Buick Cascada convertible just in time for spring. The exclusive luxury of this vehicle has them flying off the showroom floor. Join our spring sales event. Snag your new convertible for as low as $35,000 or lease one for only $380 per month for 39 months. Buick Cascada is online at stlouisbuickgmc.com or in person off I-270 and McDonald Boulevard. GMC, we are professional.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
It's the Chiefs Farms 9 o'clock hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Charlie Marlowe in for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, who is in San Jose covering the Blues for the 4 Fox. Doug will be back on Monday. The Cat, you're here because the Cardinals have the Cubs coming to town. Still haven't gone to Wrigley yet this year, right? But the Cubs have been here. This will be the fourth time, fourth game they've played. So there will be six in St. Louis before the Cardinals get to Chicago. So we'll all be back in, and there will be a game five. The question is, will there be a game six? Great stuff from Terry Yake in the 8 o'clock hour. That would be an interview that if you missed it, I would recommend and go back and podcast like the Dickens here in the 9 o'clock hour. It's brought to you by Tease Farms. Pick your own strawberry fields. They're now open at the Maryland Heights location of Tease Farms, the official shrub sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. We have our Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week coming up, plus the email of the day, Lakeside Roofing Exit Poll, all still to come. Send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Right now, it is our pleasure to go to the Appliance Discounter phone lines and presented by GFI Digital. Ladies and gentlemen, Kelly Chase from San Jose. Chaser, good morning.
Morning, guys.
Your take on what went down last night with the Blues and Sharks. What is going on so far in this series?
Well, you got to give San Jose a lot of credit. They're playing a very smothering game. Now, the Blues only allowed 16 shots on the positive side, and it's just the mistakes were big ones. I mean, the chances they gave up were glorious, and the youngster Colton Pareko fires one off the middle. It gets turned over, and then he chases and hunts the puck, and Thornton throws it over to his side, and it's Hurdell right away, and then they give up a 3-on-2 for Donsky. So, I mean, those were the glaring mistakes of the game. The thing that's tough for the Blues right now is they're not getting the opportunities. I mean, San Jose is just literally smothering them. And I think that, you know, the one thing that the Blues did in the first round against Chicago was they stuck to trying to play it kind of 10 feet at a time. If there was only 10 feet of space, they shoved it into it, and then they went, tried to gain another five, and I think that they've. If you look at the games in the second round, I think that Dallas was an easier opponent on as far as not clogging up the middle. Dallas wanted to play a track meet type of game, and St. Louis had an easier go of it than San Jose did with Nashville, and I mean St. Louis had an easier game against Dallas than San Jose did against Nashville, so. They've kind of stuck to that, you know, that smothering game, and the Blues got away from it for a series. And I think they were better last night than they have been in the other two games, and it's still not good enough. So there has to be another gear there.
It seemed maybe for the first part of the first period that they had some sort of offensive flow. Beyond that, not much. And I don't know how you go about fixing that.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's just one of those things. You know, when we talked about how good San Jose was, this is one of the things that they said, you know, the Blues can beat them, but they, you know, there's a couple things that have to go their way. And, you know, they didn't get anything on the power play that really has to be something that's got to be effective for them to win in this series. And the other thing is that you've got to make sure that, you know, you take the space they give you and be willing to just, you know, take the beating along the wall if that's going to be the case. So if you can only get that little bit of space, you got to take it, push it forward, and go to the next little bit of space. And then, you know, it's going to be a dogfight for everything. I think they did a better job of neutralizing Brent Burns, who's really the key to San Jose's offense. And then I think they also did a pretty good job of you know, the penalty kill. It's just if you don't allow San Jose the opportunities, you got to find a way to capitalize on something, and they just didn't do it last night.
Chase, are there any personnel changes you think might make sense? I remember, you know, before the last series, after Brian Elliott was pulled, you thought Allen could be an option there, and now there's a lot of talk again with Hitch saying he's going to sleep on the decision, whether it's Allen's puck movement or giving Elliott, you know, just some rest, or any of the other players that could be interchanged in there. You think we'll see some changes like that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you will. You know, the thing with, you got to remember, it's not so much, you're trying to catch some momentum. So I think this is different than the other series. I think this is one of these things where, yes, certainly you mentioned that the puck movement. I think that's very important to note because Al's is, Jake is a little bit better puck mover than Brian. But I also think that, you know, Brian being tired, and he's certainly capable of, the St. Louis Blues are not down 2-1. It's just 2-1, remember. They're not down 2-1 in this series because of Brian Elliott. So it'll be more of a momentum thing. It'll be more of a kind of a, hey, let's see if we got a guy that can steal one sort of a thing. It won't have anything to do with the play of Elliott. It'll have more to do with how can we spark this group.
They have to get more physical. What do you take away from the fact that the Blues were almost doubled up on hits?
I think the guy was probably on some weed that was taking the hit department. there's no way that the hits were almost doubled, and if St. Louis gets running around in the hit department, they're going to lose. I think they played a smarter game yesterday, and I don't agree with. I think the guy that was doing the hits last night absolutely had no clue what he was doing.
Maybe
he looked
taken
at
some
one
hits.
Point, and the hits were like 35-11 or something, and the game was 1-0, and it wasn't like, and the shots were even, and I'm like, unless I'm missing something here, there's no way San Jose has had that many hits, and so, you know what. I think if you went by the actual hits that the coaches take, you'd be a lot closer, and it'd be a lot different, and there wouldn't be so much made out of it right now.
One thing, we had Terry Yake on, and he was discussing what he thought might help them, and he said that whoever's on the ice, they got to hit the Pavelskis, the Thorntons, the first line guys. They have to punish them more physically. Do you agree with that line of thinking?
I wouldn't run out of my way to do it. The one guy I would do it, hit more would be Burns. He's who generates all the offense. Now, certainly you got to be hard on Thornton, and you got to make sure that you jump on those guys. But the one thing that they have to do that they did pretty well last night was not run out of position to do it. It limited the chances that San Jose had. I mean, like I said, they got 16 shots on goal, and so, you know, and again, I'm not going to, the mistakes were certainly glaring, but I think if you run around trying to make hits on those guys, you're going to be in big trouble. I think that you have to have more of a defined, you know, caution with that group. Now, you definitely can't pass up on Brent Burns because you have to stop him from joining the rush. But if you can get in the way of these other guys and still, you know, maintain positions, you know, that's the key. I mean, Pavelski never had it. He never even had a sniff last night. So to run around and try and, you know, go out of your way to hit a guy that, you know, you contain most of the night doesn't make any sense. Whereas, you know, Herro had one. You know, the second one is just a mistake behind the net and a bad bounce. But the one with, you know, where we ran out of our way, if you go chasing Thornton, which is what Pareko did last night, you go chasing Thornton, that's when you get beat. And he sucked him, the youngster, right over into the other side of the ice, out of position, and threw it back right to where he should have been. And that's how the Blues got scored on in the first goal.
Kelly Chase, our guest. On the Appliance Discounter phone lines, he is presented by GFI Digital. GFI Digital has you covered from office IT solutions to copiers, equipment, supplies. Let the experts at GFI make technology simple for your business. GFIDigital.com. Chaser is a fan of the game and also a broadcaster all over North America. You certainly are more familiar with the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs than us. We were trying to figure out if we could recall too many series, whether it be in any sport where you have best of sevens, baseball, NBA, and, of course, the NHL, where a team looked as dominant as the Sharks have over their opponent in the first three, and then it flipped. And we could think of the Cardinals and Giants in 2012. We could think of the Yankees and Red Sox in 2004 through the first three. But recently, the Sharks had a 3-0 lead on the Kings, and then L.A. came back and just crushed them. and won that series. Your thoughts on recent history in the Stanley Cup playoffs where we've seen a series flip and what the reasoning was when it did?
I think you saw that happen with Toronto as well against Boston.
They were
up, in the series. They were a couple minutes away from closing them out, and all of a sudden it turned. And when it turned, Toronto just, nugged on their heels. You wouldn't expect this. I can tell you right now, you don't expect that sort of a situation against the Sharks, because the one thing about the Sharks is they're very patient and they're methodical in their play. But the one thing I will tell you that, they could happen, and if St. Louis gets on their roll, there's certainly the ability to change momentum and gain some confidence offensively, and that's what the Blues really need. I mean, they haven't got any real good looks. They've scored 6 goals, I think, in 6 games against these guys. That's it. And so this season, San Jose has been tough, and it's one of the reasons why I said I think they're the best team in the West, is because they don't give you much. But when you get it, if you capitalize, it can frustrate them. And I think that's important to note, because, you've got to be willing to possibly be outchanced, but still find a way to win a hockey game. And that's tough to, it's tough to believe, because when you're playing the game and you're a pro, you want to do more when things aren't going well. And I think that's when you make the mistakes. And I think that's kind of what happened with the Blues last night, is, they got maybe forced a little bit more than they wanted to force. And that's how they, they pushed up ice on the second goal. They try and pinch in. They want to make just one more offensive play. And that's what bit them, is, Now it's a 3-on-2. Donskoy joins the rush and gets the shot from the middle of the ice. And again, you don't blame Elliott on either of the first 2 goals. I know he'd like to have the third one back, but that the mistakes and the errors they capitalized on, you got to be willing to be patient with them, because if you're not, if you go running around like I disagree with Yaker, by the way, so, and I do plenty of that. I think you get running around out of position, you're going to be in big trouble with these guys, but you do have to capitalize when you get opportunities.
Kelly Chase, brought to you by GFI Digital, up early in the morning in San Jose. Anything, I realize there's an omerta, so to speak, what you know and see behind the scenes in any sport, in particular, I think, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, especially when you're involved in the organization. Anything you saw or heard last night that gives that you can tell fans that would give them reason for some optimism tomorrow night, Chaser, after the game? Anything you spoke with anybody or saw or talked with anybody that would give us back in St. Louis reason to go, okay, this thing has a chance for the Blues to turn this around tomorrow in Game 4?
Well, like I said, I think that they realize that it's back to the trenches, kind of the way they were in. And I talked to David Backus last night. He's like, hey, look, he goes, we didn't give up much. Like I said, we didn't give up much, but in order for us to, we have to play it, like I said, 10 feet at a time. And he goes, and we know that if we do that, we're going to get our opportunities, and that's when we got to capitalize. Now, you know what? This isn't the time of the year to be going, hey, I got to convince this guy to play harder or that guy to play harder. If you don't have it in you now, like I get that there's, everybody's kind of learning on the job here with the Blues right now, because, they haven't been this far. And so, the only guy that has is Brower. So I get that they're learning on the job, but I also think that, to a guy, they know that, they're not satisfied. They weren't looking at this like, hey, we've accomplished something because we've won 2 rounds of the playoffs. So they're playing a very good hockey team, so they know that they've got to bring something better right now. And that's, to me, what I expected of them. If I'm a Blues fan, I'd be encouraged by the recognition that, everything was better with the effort that we had. We just needed for a longer period in the game. And it's not that, like I said, you guys, every time we talk, I said, look, it's not like they're not playing against anybody. There's another team on the other side that has some say over this, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm the St. Louis Blues and I can recognize that situation right now, I think that that's the encouraging part, that they know that this is how we had to play against the the Chicago Blackhawks, and we played it. We tramped along the walls and played it, and that's what we're getting back to. And I think they've started that process. So it's encouraging that the recognition of that is there now.
Kelly Chase, brought to you by GFI Digital. They have you covered from office IT solutions, copiers, equipment, supplies. Let the experts at GFI make technology simple for your business, GFIDigital.com. Chaser, thanks for getting up early with us, man. We appreciate it.
No problem. Might have to go hit a ball now that I'm up.
Go hit him, Chase, along, straight.
Thanks.
Kelly Chase with us here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Your thoughts on what Kelly Chase had to say, 314-880-0808. You can call it, you can text in. And, of course, our emails for the email of the day, Custom Club Fitting with a Golfsmith Specialist. Send in your emails for our email of the day. Anything stand out to you from Chaser, Boys Skate, Boys Skate?
He saw it differently than Terry Yake in terms of upping the physical play. And there are risks associated with that where you take yourself out of your own game. I get that.
It does seem like, excuse me, that both teams play a similar game, though. That's why I'm wondering. You know, obviously the Blues have lost the last two games, and they've played poorly. But also, I've heard a lot of comments, and I agree with it, that these games are boring. Now, if it's closer, I don't think we'd think that. But also, I think all these games are going to be boring because you don't necessarily have the skill level of a Chicago with the Taves and Kane, and even Dallas. They have a lot of guys who score a lot of goals and skate around. And I know that the Sharks, you know, they skate well. But you're seeing a lot of just, like, hard hockey. And the teams are kind of mirror images of each other with Pavelski and Thornton and Backes. They're just guys that score tough goals. Even if the Blues were to win some of these games, I don't think they're going to be real fun games to watch. You're happy when they win.
I think the reason why it wasn't fun is that you felt like, at least last night, I felt like San Jose had that game in hand even when the score was close. I think if the Blues can break through and get a little offensive mojo, and then it's a physical game and the goals are all tough, then that makes it exciting. I think that's where the boring factor came in for me, is I kind of felt like San Jose had the upper hand. And once they got up a couple of goals, I didn't feel anything could happen at any time as I did in the other series.
I agree with you, but I'm saying, and obviously winning
then
the game is the most important. No, I think I'm right, actually. Every single game in the Chicago series, every single game, win, lose, or draw, was more entertaining than every game in this series, and even the first game that the Blues won. That's what I'm saying.
I just don't think the Blues have started playing that well, and I understand what you're saying, but it's not like we're not seeing gifted, you know, that there are no gifted skill players on the ice. There are plenty of them, maybe not to the extent of what you know, the Blackhawks bring to bear, even the Dallas Stars, but I just think the way this series has unfolded makes it less exciting because we haven't seen the Blues bring out their best yet.
But I'm also saying that because of this style, I think that's a reason why guys like Tarasenko aren't able to put their skills on display because they have no room to operate.
Why do you hate the Blues?
I love the Blues.
Ryan Kelly is the title sponsor of this program. He was just named the number one mortgage lender for most loans closed in the Midwest by the Scotsman's Guide. He was number three in the nation for FHA volume and number nine in the nation for most closed loans last year. My family is currently in the process of doing business with Ryan Kelly. I know Doug has done business with Ryan Kelly, and therefore we do not hesitate, first person, to recommend Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, to you. 314-781-9700. That's 314-781-9700. Ryan Kelly is the title sponsor of this radio program. Make sure that you do business with Ryan Kelly if you're in the market to buy a home or to refinance. Ryan Kelly, the title sponsor of this award-winning presentation. Ryan Kelly, the home loan expert, LLC. You know what we have now, boys? It's the grand finale, really. I mean, with Terry Yake, with Kelly Chase, with all that we have going on, we have the Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week. We have the email of the day. But first, it's time for the Lakeside Roofing Exit Poll.
The people I've spoken to just cannot believe the exit poll.
This is the Lakeside Roofing Exit Poll.
Just like any other poll, it has its range of error one way and the other.
Family owned for 40 years, lakesideroofing.com.
If this exit poll is right, I will publicly eat my hat.
Lakeside Roofing is sponsored by the exit poll here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Just a few questions for you boys, for the listeners as well. And I go with the obvious one at this point. Blues down 2-1. Plowshark, I'm going to want your feedback as well. Who wins the series? How many games?
Plows, are you first?
Yeah, I can go first. I don't care. Depending on how we play, I'm still I'm not bullish on the club. I think Sharks in six.
He pivoted again.
So well, you asked me currently today.
Yeah.
So I think Sharks in six.
Cat,
I'm going to say, with my heart, Blues in seven.
I'm going to say right now, today, I'm going to agree with Plowsy and say Sharks in six. Although I said, ever since the Blues beat the Blackhawks, I thought the Blues are going to win the Cup. But I can't unsee what I saw the last 2.5 games. So right now, the Sharks look much better. Now, if the Blues come out and win on Saturday, I will certainly come back to their side a bit. But right now, how can you watch the last couple games and have confidence the Blues are going to win this series?
If the Blues win tomorrow, I would say the Blues in seven. That's where I would be. If the Blues lose tomorrow, I would say the Sharks in five. Unfortunately.
Do you think the Blues will win tomorrow?
I would bet on the Sharks.
So I agree. You can't unsee what you saw, but your heart sometimes wants what it
does. Sure, of course. Absolutely. I'm looking for, ideally, a threesome this weekend. I don't know if I'm going to get it, though, Charlie. The heart wants what it wants.
Well, good luck, though.
Thank you. Godspeed to you. I ask it every week. I always like to see where things are trending. It's good to have Charlie in here because Charlie will... Doug is always going to be, and he acknowledges it. It's just going to be a homer festival, and he acknowledges that he just wants it to be the way that it is. The Cardinal over-under is 87.5 in Las Vegas. We have another set of data to look at from last week's exit poll. I think the last time you were on the exit poll, you were still up in the air on it. 87.5 on the over-under. Cardinals have won two in a row against a team that's over 500 or hovering about the mark. The Rockies, Charlie, over-under.
And it's 87.5.
Well, no, I'm still operating off the preseason. Yeah. I don't know where it would be now.
That's a great over-under. 87.5. I'm still going to say, I don't remember what I said last time. I guess I'm going to say under, but it's a great over-under because I think they're going to be right there. It's going to be like between 85 and 89 wins. I don't think it's I've said this the whole time. They're not an elite team. They're not a bad team. They're certainly over 500, but I think they're right there in that 85 to 89 window. I know that's not a good answer.
I know a lot about over-unders, and they're great.
Right.
Having said that, as a man who's just rediscovered his passion for AM Sports Talk, right, I'm going to take the over and surprise a lot of people. I still think at some point we see Waino with a good start. Waka didn't have a great one. I think we're going to see some starting pitching that's a bit more consistent, and they'll get to put winning streaks together, 3-4 games, and they'll get over 500, and they'll get to that win total.
Can I ask what I think might be a little better question?
How about this? No, I'm just saying. That's a real shot.
No, it's not a shot.
Tim, you can't run the point.
That's what it sounds like.
No, I'm just saying.
You're going to get a good, long 3-week stretch of running the point coming up soon.
Can't wait for that. What do you think is more likely? The Cardinals win, let's say, less than 84, or win more than, let's say, 87? I think that's a better question, because I think most people would agree they're in that window of like 85, 86, 87, 88.
Right.
Am I wrong?
No, I think that's a fair question. I on that one, I don't know. On the 87.5, I'm comfortable with going under. But on the, because I could see it being right in that, you know, 78 to 85 win range, you know. Injuries, of course, being the great part of the whole thing, like, you know, so if the Cardinals won 88 games, I'll inevitably have a collection of Hill people contacting me. I guess you're wrong. But injuries are the variable, and it's that's the thing. And it could happen to the Cubs. It could happen to any team, of course. But looking at what we have right now to evaluate as far as data goes, to me, it's an obvious play to go under. Other things that have worked to the Cardinals' favor. I mean, who could have expected what you're getting right now? And now he's been moved up in the lineup and with Aledmys Diaz. Kind of flying under the radar because he's a middle reliever and holds aren't a statistic that don't get a whole lot of attention is what's going on with the final boss. Those numbers are insane, what he's doing. And the quality of the bullpen. So, you know, it's a possibility that they could certainly win 90 games. But just looking at what they've got from a starting pitching perspective and how they perform offensively when they face quality teams, the latter isn't necessarily surprising to me. The former, as far as the quality of the starting pitching, how bad it's been, is really surprising. Because I thought there'd be injury issues. I thought Waka would have an injury issue, and I thought Martinez would have an injury issue. That was one of the reasons why I was really, quote, high.
And I think that's fair.
On 87.5 being the under. That was my reasoning. And I figured there would be injury issues with some guys who are starting to either collect a history of injury issues and not necessarily be older players, such as Grichuk, or guys who just are getting to be older players in Molina and Holiday. And that hasn't really happened at this point. But, you know, because there really is, I'm sure there have been years where this is like this, but, I mean, it's like textbook United States in 2016. There are some really rich teams when it comes to talent in the National League, and there are some really poor teams. And so if the Cardinals can dominate those teams, then who knows? Maybe they can get to the 88 win mark.
And I also think, because you bring up injuries, and if there's one area that is an area of concern, it's the starting rotation, because where's their depth with, Cooney coming back from injury? But Reyes just is almost done with his suspension, starting the 22nd. He'll and he's been pitching now, so he'll work his way back, and I think we'll hear from him at some point. But to have that option, should someone sustain an injury in the rotation, makes me more comfortable saying over.
We're at the quarter pole, and the Cardinals are trending towards 87 and 75.
Wow, Las Vegas.
Look at that.
Wow.
Right there.
Las Vegas. Breaking news here. Brendan Marks, Vice President of Web Operations for Inside STL Enterprises, LLC, founded August 2005, has just posted a picture. The cat, this is probably going to interest you more than anything that perhaps has ever happened on this show, that there is activity with the 1380, the woman, and 590, the man van that has been in the parking lot for years in the exact same space. There is activity.
I'll be back in a second.
You're going to go check it out. Yeah. Mike posted a snap. You might get a Snapchat account for this. Brendan Marks has posted it. Now, somebody has opened up the back of the van. I don't know if that means it's going to actually move, but there is activity. I can confirm there is activity.
Can't you see this as kind of like one of these post-apocalyptic movies, like in the realm of Hunger Games, where years from now you'll see like a scene where there's all these trees and bushes, but you'll still see the van out there been there for like 50 years?
Yep. It just keeps surviving. It just keeps surviving.
Like a cockroach.
Like a cucaracha. The cat, what do you have for us here? The cat is back. He is back from the scene. What do we have?
Reporting live from the scene of the van, I can report that the hood is open. The side doors are open. A gentleman is on his cell phone, and there are no reports that confirm the rumor that some guy named Bubba was seen pulling something out of the
van. No.
How about that?
No. Confirm that.
Good report, though.
Thank you.
Peyton posted, I saw somebody trying to jumpstart it last week. There it is. There's the latest information on the van. Send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Salt and Smoke, the official brisket of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. The cat, I still have a little bit of brisket left from me swiping.
Do you really?
I do.
Blessed.
I do. Oh, very blessed. It is so good. I don't know what's better, the brisket or Tom's commercials, but it is the official brisket of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Frank Cusimano will be coming up with the Hollywood Casino Press Box here in about 25 minutes on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM and InsideSTL.com. And we will have your emails before Frank comes up. But we'll also have this, the Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week.
Cut of the Week is brought to you by Bertarelli Cutlery. Visit them on the Hill, online at BertarelliCutlery.com, or follow them on Facebook or Twitter at STL9. Cut one.
Again, this is some of the best I've worked with.
And why is that?
Because the proportion of the foot, the softness of the foot, you've got really soft feet.
Have you worked with hard feet?
I have before. I've kind of tried to go along for the listener, as you know.
Like a construction worker's feet.
But what I'm going to ask you one more question, because you are so fine. Can I just kiss the top?
Oh, no.
No tongue.
No, do something.
Just the Cardinals won last night.
Holiday hit two out of the park.
Cut two.
Here is this Jeopardy competition. And is this Anderson Cooper that you're?
No. Jeopardy as far as the show with Alex Trebek.
That was such a polite way of responding.
The plow shark.
Well, I guess I didn't understand the question. Apparently, I didn't answer it correctly with the response of the panel here. Like
he thought that
two
was,
people
here's,
working
here's
at totally different radio stations
here's
talking about a different segment.
Here's what happened. He thought that was a bad question by Tim, but he had such respect for you as a broadcaster and boss that he wasn't able to, kind of, you know, criticize you.
Right.
Cut three.
I always listen to you guys on the way to work. It's cool listening when you haven't been to bed yet, though. It's a different vibe. It's totally weird.
Now, you're not going to work on any dental patients this morning, are you?
I don't do any of that. I sell this stuff, man.
Oh, okay.
Do you think it's the first time in the history of a dental equipment, a convention, that you guys have gotten together and gotten
to
a strip
club? No, it's happened before. We go over there every year. They come in town.
How are things at the Penthouse Club? I haven't been over there in a while.
It's all right. There's like two or three really hot chicks, and the rest of them are kind of nasty. But
well, it was a Monday night. You probably don't get the A-team on a Monday night.
The one girl we were talking to.
You're sniffing now. You're sniffing and you're smacking your lips.
Cut four.
Doug, I saw you sign somebody's ass out of your car on Friday. I feel like you're cheating on my ass. Thanks, Phil the Peacock. There is video of Doug signing a gentleman's ass from his whip.
It was just his tramp stamp region.
Cut five.
I don't know if, because I didn't see it in the paper, so I assume you guys covered it on your podcast or maybe on the writer's block later today. But the big news that Jeremy Hazelbaker, who lives in Lance Lynn's St. Louis apartment, says it's haunted. I don't know if you're doing an
wow, that's huge.
Yeah,
it's a big deal. It got cut from the paper. It got trimmed, you know, size, space.
That's unbelievable.
Limited.
I think that's a swing and a miss. I think that's a swing and a miss.
Do you? You think? Yeah.
I clip that off.
Cut six.
You know how girls get when they get out the Snapchat? They've got to get, like, you know, close and, like, frisky looking.
How can you tell they're on Snapchat? It's just picking up their phone, isn't it? How do you know?
I mean, I'm being pretty creepy at this point. I'm looking over their shoulders. Anyway.
Good for you, Mitch. Good for you, Mitch.
Yeah. So they do, like, a little peck, you know, when the first period ends. Then if we all go to the bar, I start talking to them a little bit. And then when we get back to our seats, I convince them that, you know, it's a little making out. You know, the team will see it, and it'll probably bring us some good fortune.
And they bought that.
Yep. Hitch credited that, actually, in his post-game
comments. I missed that.
Cut seven.
Yeah, basically, like, she was laying in bed and, like, with a friend. And I get it, but, you know, I'm a play baby, so, like, I tried to, like, bang her friend, I think. Which I did, but I didn't. I did it nonchalantly. Like, I was just like, I did it so, I did it in spite. In spite is the word, okay?
Well, she was right there.
Hold on, not in spite. Out of spite. Out of spite. In spite would be like, I did it in spite of the fact that she was right next to me.
Sorry,
I did it out of spite.
I don't have the sexy journalism degree like you said. Out of spite.
But your girlfriend was right there on the same bed at the time?
Yeah.
And you didn't think she'd notice?
Well, I knew she would. I just did it to pee her off, but I haven't seen her since.
There it is. Cuts of the Week. What a show. God, what a great show. You know, sometimes you sit there and you go, maybe the show's not that great. But then you hear the cuts of the week and you go, okay, I like what we're doing here.
You know what it is? We handle the tough issues and we do it in a fashion that shows we are unafraid.
Yep.
Tenacious journalists.
We ain't scared. You scared? I ain't scared. Can I tell you something?
Please do.
Tell you something? It was a lovely evening last night. Got a little cloudy. But went to dinner. And Anna Marie says, Anna Marie, where you want to go, sister? You know, let's go. Let's do this. And she said, you know what I kind of want? Want to take a guess? Do you want
Is
to
it
take
a sponsor?
Guess? It's not a sponsor.
I'm guessing it's something kind of odd,
no,
the way you're
think,
telling this story.
No, I don't think
if it was
so.
Just a normal restaurant.
I know the cat's going to be on board big time.
Citizen Kane's.
No. Not necessarily to that level, but I love that Citizen Kane's.
It's not a sponsor. I have no idea.
Sportsman's Park.
Very good food.
That's a great place. Chicken. The chicken tenders there are amazing.
You know what else? They got steak fries. And,
yes, they do, sir.
They are no joke.
So we went up there, and I have to tell you, it was one of the – I've eaten there millions of times. It's one of my 5, 6, 9 dine places. So a go-to play for me. But at that point, it's been delivered, you know, so it's about whatever the drive is from there, 5, 10 minutes. But this burger I had – you know what I get, Charlie? I get the Larry Wilson burger, baby. And it might have been one of the best burgers I've had in my entire 39-year Hall of Fame life. And I would, and the cat, you're right, the steak fries. They give you the option of the curly fries, though. They give you the option, but I go steak fries. It's the way I was raised. It's the way I was raised. I don't know if the Catholic fries. Thing. Have, I don't know.
They have the Babe Ruth of steak fries in St. Louis, in my opinion, and I said it. Self-ringer.
Holy moly.
They have the biggest, meatiest chicken tenders that I've ever had.
Nice.
I'm serious.
Nice.
That's like a great, it's a great dinner spot, but it's also a great lunch spot.
I like the memorabilia, and you see the Buck family and the Cardinal memorabilia around. Blues memorabilia.
Yep.
It's nice. You know what? That is nice.
A lot of Buck family memorabilia. A lot of pictures of Jack throughout his career. Joe. Young Joe. Joe was a baby. I don't know if you saw the article in the Post-Dispatch this morning about Joe and his fandom for the Blues. But he's been going to as many games as he can. He's super into Blues hockey. Super into Blues hockey. And his book's coming out. Did you see that as well?
No, I didn't know.
I guess an excerpt of the cover of the book. And you know what the title of the book is? Have you seen this?
I once threw it to the cat.
No.
Should have been. Another swing and a miss.
Something about his dad?
Not really, but I guess.
I feel like I've seen that.
Lucky Bastard is the title of the book.
Okay.
Well, that implies that.
Right.
Father paved the way.
Right. Maybe. Right. Exactly.
Ken Wilson talked about it on a radio station once.
Was that what Ken, did Ken Wilson call him a lucky bastard?
No, I'm just saying that.
No, I know that. It was an exit speech.
Yeah, part of it was.
Yep. But Joe jokes about that all the time. He jokes about the nepotism thing all the time on Twitter and has a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, he jokes about the nepotism thing, the Artie Lang thing,
your team, hating
Fernando
your team.
Tatis, hating all the teams.
Whatever the team is, he hates.
Yes, absolutely.
I have to admit, I was flipping through the channels the other day, and I think I had to leave real quick, but I saw one of the episodes of his show, and it was with Jerry Jones. And I was wondering when that was shot.
It was shot before the January 12th vote.
That's what I figured.
Yeah. I think all of those were done in August.
Because that could have gotten very interesting with, obviously, what Joe knows about St. Louis and him. And again, that's kind of more of a St. Louis conversation than a national show where you're talking about Jerry Jones' whole career. But I'm sure there are some interesting conversations, or could be behind the scenes, with Joe going to bat for St. Louis, and obviously Jerry Jones was on the side of Stan Kroenke, helping sway that.
He was on the establishment side, establishing the Rams in Los Angeles.
Back in their home market.
Yeah.
And it's going to be on Hard Knocks. That's, you know what? I like Hard Knocks anyway. I would watch, even if it was the Bengals or the Houston Texans. And now the fact that it's the Rams, I'm going to want to watch because you know those guys, but it's just going to make you mad.
I'm not going to watch.
I'm going to watch, and I'm going to cheer against them. I know that's where I am.
I'm going to cheer for the players, but I can never cheer. Like, I don't want them really to – I don't want Stan Kroenke to have success, although I like a lot of the players, so that's weird.
I want the Rams to lose every game 60-0, and I want I don't want any – there's no personal animus, but a few painful groin injuries along the way would be okay.
Yeah, I just want to – I want to see the Coliseum, populated like my hairline is. That's what I want to see. And I think we might get there. I really do.
I know we don't really care, but do they have a receiver? They still didn't address that, did they? I know they don't think that's an important position in football.
I'd like to see an explosion of the septic system mid-game.
Sewage everywhere. Raw sewage. That's me. I've been swinging raw sewage. I love it. I love it. Charlie.
I also want to go on the record. Okay. I am not Todd McShay. I am not Mel Kiper. But I think the Rams got it wrong with Goff. I think Wentz will be better.
Wow. That's kind of an out-of-nowhere hot take.
And I couldn't care.
And it wouldn't surprise me if they got it wrong, because they get a lot of things wrong.
We already have 1,683 members of the new TMA fan page. Plowshark, are you a member of the new TMA fan page?
I think I was blessed enough to have Buck Swope add me without
Buck Swope.
You can be added without confirming anything. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's how it was out of the gate. But since then, I have taken on all. I'm power hungry. That's what happens when you're short. You're power hungry, and you treat people poorly because you're really insecure. And so that kind of to a T describes me. So once I saw that Swope and others were adding people, I immediately said, "Never again, never again." I stood up in my living room this morning all by myself, and I had my little Napoleon outfit on. I said, "Never again."
I'll tell you what, I'm going to go home right after the show, and I'm going to create a page called The Best TMA Fan Page on Facebook.
Mother.
And I'm going to see if I can get a nice chunk of change to sell it to Tim.
Invite Bob, the guy that Tim personally invited, because that guy's the make-or-break member.
He was really into it.
Yeah.
He sounded kind of overwhelmed by the whole thing. Caller Adam texting in, did you guys hear back from Anna Marie or Jessica on babysitting? Thanks. I haven't. Anna Marie's probably just a you know,
just
few
bring
feet
your
away
daughter. Somebody office. Will watch her. It'll be fine.
I mean, do you really want to, no offense, but do you really want to leave your child with the Shrewsbury butter squirrel if you haven't met him before?
Your kid will be fine. Give him a jump rope and a Snickers bar, and they'll be fine. Violet, little Violet will be fine.
Little Violet.
That's a nice name.
I don't think she even has teeth, Charlie, so I don't think you can hand her a...
How old is she?
I think she's like, looks like about 1.5, something like that.
So you bring the stroller, you bring the little... What do you call it, Kat? Little travel deal?
I think you call it the little travel
That's
deal.
That's exactly what you call it, actually. That's exactly what you call it.
Maybe get a papoose and just carry the child around as you're playing. Just a little papoose.
Man, I like that idea. Yeah, this new TMA fan page. For the record, the title of the new page is TMA fan page. Timberfake is texting me constantly because he can't find the damn thing. How can it be that tough? TMA space fan space page. And he said he just threw his phone and broke it because he's so upset. Oh,
God. I did like the pictures, all the pictures of Andy Dufresne and Shawshank Redemption after he crawls through all of the sewage to get out of prison after 20 years, Cat, and he rips his clothes off and it's raining and it's a beautiful scene and he extends his arms like, I'm free.
Mm.
And that's kind of how the people of the fan page
they feel
felt
liberated.
Because now... We are free.
It's a fan page. You go on there, you go, Cat's terrible. Charlie shouldn't run point.
I hate it when Charlie's in. What is you don't get to talk about cool stuff.
What
he never reads the
Joe
emails, you know,
again?
About butts and,
that's
he
and
never
stuff
reads
like
the
that.
Emails about butts. Is that the complaint you get on Twitter?
I would say
more emails about butts.
If you go to the text line when I run point, I say if you could take all the text and put it into one, it's that I don't read the emails and the texts about the vulgar stuff.
In the greatest of sincerity, on a show that is dripping with insincerity, one of the best things about your involvement with the show, and I don't even know what the right word would be, emergence the cat? Is that a good word?
Yes, it fits.
Is that when I would take off from, I don't know, 2009 through whatever the time was that you started running point on a regular basis when I'd be out, it would be brutal when I would wake up and I'd be on vacation. Because I legitimately have hate mail from people, and I thought that was really odd that people would, like, send hate mail. But now, nothing. Nothing.
You know why? And I said this to Charlie the other day. Because Charlie is no longer a fill-in. He is one of us.
Thanks.
It's true.
Thanks, guys. That means a lot.
Well, the problem is if you do a show that's based on pretty much chemistry and no prep and really
whoa.
No broadcasting
whoa,
skill,
whoa.
And then you take one piece out, and put in someone else, then maybe the chemistry isn't quite right, but it's just you're one of the pieces now.
I like this role, too. I like doing it kind of every other week. Not every day.
Be a little
you know.
Too much anchoring. And you're probably not getting home until midnight or so.
Yeah.
Do it I don't know how you, either one of you, I don't know how the hell you do it. I really don't. Like when the Blues have a game, it's 8 o'clock. I'm going, oh, God, I'm not going to get to bed until at least 11:15. You MFers, same deal almost every night.
I don't know if I mentioned this, Tim, but I've recently rediscovered my passion.
Oh, my God.
For AM Sports Talk Radio, you don't find that funny that I'm going doing another callback.
Right. This guy, though, if the listeners don't appreciate it, I don't know if we've talked about your schedule coming back from L.A., but this dude
that was unbelievable.
Touched down at, like, what, 5 a.m.?
I honestly walked in, and I figured you were going to be here, and I saw the cat sitting there. I'm like, when I went to bed, you were posting a picture of Mario Lopez at Dodger Stadium, and I wake up, and there he is.
Well, here's the thing, Tim. You don't bust chops because I'm away a lot for Fox, and you've hung out this promise that one day you will give me a salary.
Right.
And I want to get that salary,
right.
So I figured, all right, I'm here. Might as well suck it up.
Might be a little treat in the mail on the May 31st pay period. Might not, though. Just want you to know, it might not be.
Looking forward to it.
Right. But just gives you and E and Tyler a little something to look forward to when you open up that envelope and see if you get a blank check. As a matter of fact, I think Gardner likes to tell the story of how when he was working at the man, Plowshark, you can confirm this, that he got his paycheck and in the amount due was 0.00.
Yeah, I was actually there when he took the picture. I think the best part of all this was when you did get your paycheck from there, it was a rat race to the nearest bank because usually the first 7 would cash and the last 20 would not. So you kind of had to get there immediately. You kind of wanted to work the early morning shifts so you could get out right from work, go to the nearest bank.
Now, my question is, why issue a check with no money? Like Tim, for example, there's times where I'll go a whole pay period without working, so then I don't get a check.
Sure, that's how it works.
I would think that's how it works. Why would you get a check that says zero?
There were a lot of things going on over there that...
Yeah, I don't think you understand the big picture.
Yeah, you're not on that level.
Okay. Did you ever hear the news conference when the new formats were announced? That was called foreshadowing.
Okay.
Wow. That might have been my favorite moment in the history of the show. For real. I don't know. Caden Cross, paralegal, Doug doing his own show while that Foot Fetish Friday was going on right there. But the press conference, while, and it was done during our time slot, which meant it was our time by the contract, and they ran it during our show, which meant, therefore, it was our property, which is great. God, and we were in the studio. Like I was serious. I was pissing myself. Like, legitimately, I think me drawers were damp.
I didn't want to find it funny. Honestly, I was like, you know, it's a little uncomfortable. What's going to happen? And it was just pure hilarity.
It was because I'm a big fan of unintentional comedy, a lack of self-awareness, and that was perfect. Speaking of which, yeah.
No, man, like, I didn't mean to cuss out Peyton or Peyton Manning, whatever you want to call the fruit, but what I'm like, I'm
just
on three phones.
What's the problem? Don't call Peyton names. What's going on?
I didn't mean to cuss him out. I'm just like, because I'm on three different phones. I'm on my computer. I can't get on the page. I go, what's going on?
But you're on.
Man?
You just posted something.
Yeah, now I did. After, like, I couldn't get on there. I'm like, the Bobby Bestel, whatever the baby's name is. I go, what? I don't know what's going on. Somebody fill me in.
So we had to create a new page. Bobby was upset about some followers. I know, but we had to do it in the long term. In the short term, we will take a step back, but we will take two steps forward.
I get it, but that man, can I have my lawyer sue Bobby Bestel?
No. Let's just move on. Bobby's a nice enough guy. We're parting ways, and we wish him the best of luck. God bless him, and God bless
Jesus. Nice. Doesn't he live in like Vandalia? He needs to give it up. He ain't even part of the sex show. He ain't part of Sexy Coffee. I am Sexy Coffee.
Thank you, Timberfake. So we can follow you on Snapchat at OldDirtyShirt22?
Yeah, man. Yeah, and we got to get Tony Lee back on the new sexy page. I was just confused for a minute. I'm like, what's going on, man? Did I get blocked again? I'm like, what?
No, you will not be blocked on this page. You're fine.
It's just ridiculous. Like, come on, man. I'm just drinking sexy coffee, trying to post some heat, the Miami Heat, on the fan page, and I can't get on. And I didn't even know there was a new fan page.
There is. Geez. You're a part of it. You're a member of it. You just posted there 2 minutes ago.
We're going to get 20,000.
Perfect. Sounds like a plan.
20,000 sexy coffees.
There he is, Timberfake.
Delight.
He is a delight, isn't he? I guess he's sideways with Peyton, though. Poor Peyton.
Poor Peyton.
Peyton's like the nicest guy. Never says anything. Never bothers anyone.
And all of a sudden, he's answering a phone. He's being cussed out about a fan page. Anna Marie was like, what's going on over there? I said, just don't. This was last night during the game, and I'm creating a new fan page. She goes, oh, she knows. So leave me alone. It's time to tend to the fan page.
I'm dealing with fan page drama.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Woman. It's fan page drama. You don't have to deal with the fan page. I do. This is why I went to journalism school. No suspensions today because Doug is not here, but we'll see what these emails have. Maybe there'll be something vile. Maybe the cat will go, you know what? Yeah, Ragazzi's, you're right. That was vile. I'm going to suspend you. But Doug is usually
Do you have the power to do that?
I think so.
I mean, that's one thing where Doug has a lot of power, is these suspensions.
They have that voted locally for the best Italian and best toasted ravioli at Ragazzi's. It's $49.45 Daggett on the Hill or at Ragazzi's.com. It is a St. Louis tradition. Time for email of the day. We're giving away a custom club fitting with a golfsmith specialist. I think I might go out and get new golf clubs. I really want to play. I can't wait to play again, and I have no idea why this is coming back, but I'm looking forward to it. I don't know what that is. But I want to play. So, anyway.
Well, if you got the
brief aside, that's all that was.
The jack, don't step back.
That's right, of course. Boys, I remember it like it was yesterday. Freshman year at Vianney, and I had just walked into my very first diaper-changing class. We were told that the vice principal's stepdad was sick, so couldn't teach that day. Lucky for us, we had the perfect substitute, a local television fixture. with a 5-head of pure gold. In just 90 minutes, he introduced us to proper form, proper powdering techniques, and how to flip a fellow on his side with the utmost ease. He even peacocked around a bit after performing a change in just 6.9 seconds flat. When he was the guest of honor at the annual Father-Son Dance at Windows on Washington later that year, he was kind enough to let us take turns on him, showing to all of our dads just how far our diaper-changing skills had come. And here I sit now, 10 years later, in a skyscraper in downtown Chicago, penning this email, forever indebted, to the John Wooden of the diaper-changing table. By teaching us to change, Doug, you changed each and every one of us. Best and very happy Friday, Dougie's Down Dauber.
Dougie's
Down Dauber.
Down Dauber.
And I actually think, looking at the name, that might be new.
It's well written.
New. It's well written.
It was beautiful. That's a tribute to Vianney. A TMA, the Lil Gent edition. Today's email sponsored by Lil Gent's Boy Panties. When you want to let your bottom know he's the tops, reach for a pair of Lil Gent's. Listen up, y'all. You got questions, I got answers. You got questions, I got answers. Why are the Blues not trying? Why are they so very tired? Why is my stepdad so horny all the time? Well, you see, the thing is, the Blues are out of sync. They aren't moving as a unit. Their spatial integrity is poor at best. Solution? A team bonding trip to Father Teresa's bathhouse and day spa. Whilst there, they can work on syncing their cycles. They can get a butt mud bath. They can relax and have a steam. And as the Spartans did, they will form a bond by making chowder all over each other. We lost the battle. We shall win the war. Cucky.
Cuckster.
Lil Gents. I have to have our sales staff calling Lil Gents today. And then 101 will undercut our rates. For sale, Van of the Stars, 2002 Ford Econoline with real radio station insignias. $590 the man, $1380 the woman. Runs great because it was never taken on live remotes, only used to pick up various on-air talent from jail. Never been clean, so as a bonus, you get to keep everything left inside. Unsigned paychecks for local sports announcers, a coffee mug for Joe's Lawn Care, Atlanta, Georgia, and a 2007 Playboy Special Edition, Girls of the Becky Thatcher. Best offer free to anyone who will tow it. That comes from Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Pullman speech.
It's about the van.
Van.
Hey, guys. The Blues have nothing to hang their heads about, except they didn't play that well and are giving away this series. Thanks, Frankie T.
My favorite soundbite of all time.
It comes from Corey G. Guys, Plops here. Pretty excited about yesterday's email win. You know, I've got a handful of prizes in my drawer over here at the Plops Palace that I'll probably never get around to using. For example, I'm simply not into golf, so the only reason I'd go get fitted for clubs is in hopes that the golf man would fill me up a bit. Others I simply can't use because of physics, as they were expired 6 weeks before they were mailed to me. And others I won't get around to using simply because it wouldn't be logical for me to drive 45 miles from my house to cash in a $5 coupon toward the purchase of a hot dog in the lobby of a hardware store.
It's well said.
Sometimes I'll see what our prize is, and I don't even want to announce it.
Yeah.
I just feel like doing what Jay used to do, which was give away $5.90 of his own money. My question is this. Can I trade some of these boy treasures in for other things? Like, maybe I get to be a groomsman in Charlie's wedding. Or maybe I get a credential that lets me crap at Tim's parents' house during the Wiffleball tournament. Or maybe you just give me the home addresses of certain past fan page moderators and a sack full of nickels and pretend we never spoke. Please advise, these passes to the pumpkin farm that's been underwater since November are steadily dropping from their original $6 value. And my finance guy says it's time to unload. But keep that on the low. That's from Misty Plops.
Plops here.
You know, I know a lot about 19th century children's illnesses, and they're great. How's Lydia Moss Bradley doing? We going to bring that back? How about that whole deal? That's from Matt, who bowls at Hank's. And a happy birthday to the wonderful Bronson Pinchot, he podcasts. I didn't know that. Bronson Pinchot podcasts.
How about that?
That's fun. That's wonderful. Charlie, that's trying to get my vote because I love that line, and you love Lydia Moss Bradley, yeah. And all you got to do is get two votes.
That's smart.
That's smart strategy there. Let me start by saying, no disrespect, you absolutely have to love this show. Who else has a guest analyst to break down a playoff game who literally didn't even watch the game? Good talk, Russ. Good talk. Not the Happy Days Potsy.
That's fair.
I did love that. Right off the bat, he said
I hung my head.
Yeah.
And I went back to dealing with fan page issues.
It happens.
Let's see. When I despair, I remember that all through history, the way of truth and love have always won. There have been tyrants and hypocrites and photoshoppers, and for a time they can seem invincible. But in the end, they always fall. Think of it. Always. Mahatma Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi quoted about photoshopping? Is that right?
Gandhi.
All Mahatma. Hail Brother McKernan. He has delivered us from evil and led us into lesbianism. Free at last. Free at last. Tim Almighty, we're free at last. Do go to Void Evil. Barnhart Brawler. Boy, that's a wonderful email right there, isn't it? Nurse?
Brother Brawler.
And that's what we have for the email today. We're running out of time. This is what we got. We're running out of time.
I got to say, I thought Matt Hubols and Hanks was great. Misty Plops was great. But the one that made me laugh, short and sweet, Corey G.
See, I wrote down two, Frankie T and Corey G, but I think Plops was better.
I go with Plops as well, Charlie. Congratulations, Misty Plops. You have won the email of the day. You're closing in on Stephen Wildwood now, as we're coming down the stretch here in the month of May. Do you have the standings over there, Plow Shark?
I do not. Okay. The problem is Stephen Wildwood did not submit an email.
Yeah, well, I mean, hey, you know what? You gotta fire a shot on goal, hey, boys.
Pat on the back to Plowsy because you were tired today and you soldiered
through.
You're
grinding through it. He is an inspiration, sir.
Yep.
So Plow Shark gets the game ball. Frank's up next. He does a real radio show. It's the Lion's Choice. Famous roast beef handoff to Frank Cusimano. New locations opening up all over the place with Lion's Choice. Famous roast beef handoff. Lion's Choice, St. Louis original, home of the famous roast beef sandwiches. And now you can add two LC destinations and list. Lion's Choice, LC destinations and list. Lion's Choice in Wentzville. Reopening. It is reopened. And Rock Hill at Manchester and McKnight. More locations mean more of St. Louis's favorite roast beef sandwiches. Hollywood Casino is up next with Frank Cusimano. For Peyton, for the Plow Shark, for the Sea Monster, for my brother Kevin, for Charlie Marlowe, in for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, and for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on CBS Sports 105.7, HD2 FM, 920 AM, inside STL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.